So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 14.
Very loudly, or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, but he is indifferent to
power. Evam vrita svapriya nama kirtyam. Evam vrita svapriya nama kirtyam.
Or the perfection
Evam vrita svapriya nama kirtyam. Yatha anurago drita citta uccham. Asti ato raditi rati dayati. Unmadavan vichati loka bhayam.
To see how these foreigners have learned to chant and dance in this ecstatic fashion. Actually, this is not due to practice. These symptoms become manifest in anyone who sincerely chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In this regard, about the ungodly Sahajiyas. Who imitate neglecting the standard injunctions of Vedic scriptures, foolishly trying to take the position of Krishna as Purushottam, and thus making a cheap their so called ecstatic symptoms like crying, shivering, with the advanced features of devotional service described by Srila Prabhupada comments in this regard. This bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of illusory energy. For a devotee who has actually developed bhava, love of Krishna, and moksha, appears like a drop in the presence of the sea. As I have stated in the previous verse of the chapter, Vayan Vilajyo Vicharad Asangam, one exhibits the ecstatic symptoms of love of God when he is Asangam. The word lokabaya in this verse indicates is not at all concerned with the ridicule of praise, respect, and the bodily concept of life. Krishna is the absolute truth, and he reveals himself to surrendered servant all doubt and speculation about the nature of life. In this connection, Shiva Madhacharya has quoted the verse from the Valaha. Some devotees of the Lord exhibit external symptoms, acting like a madman,
Others are going to read it. What is purpose and translation. Partake of both natures. It is by one's steadfastness and by the by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the state
can be judged, not otherwise. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a very nice example to illustrate ecstatic laughing and other symptoms of love of Godhead. Oh, that thief Krishna, the son of Yashoda, has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him, keep him away. Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy. But suddenly he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation. Oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands. Thus the devotee cries loudly, Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer. The Lord answers, My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you. Upon seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing. Today my life has become perfect. Thus, overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also notes the word drita chitta, or with melted heart, indicates that one's heart melted by the fire of anxiety to see the Lord becomes like Jambu Nadi, a river of rose apple juice. The Acharya further points out, Nama Kirtanasya Sarvot Karasam. The present and previous verse clearly distinguish the exalted position of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also emphasized this by quoting, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Vati Ranyatam. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative, there is no alternative, there is no alternative for spiritual progress but the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. In his purpose to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada has given an elaborate explanation of this verse. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommends that we study the following verse in this connection. Manu makara namam bichara hari rasa nidra hatta bhavi rupa hatta. Let the glorious populace say whatever they like, we shall pay them no regard. Truly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground, and dancing in ecstasy. Evam vrita sva priya nama kirtyan chata nuraga drita chitta uccham hasti atto hrudhiti rati dayati ummadavan vita tiloka bhajan. So when I read this verse for when I was assigned this verse and I read it, my first thought was, gosh, you know, this is so wonderfully explained already. You know, what can I say? Everything is already presented here in such a beautiful way. So it's really hard to add anything, but we will try to just repeat what previous acharyas already have told us. So, just to kind of
get the connection with the verses that we are discussing. We know that this was initial inquiry question by Vasudev to Narada Muni. And one may question, why would Vasudev, he is all the father of Lord Krishna, he is all the perfected stage of devotional service, but still we see him very eagerly inquiring from Narada Muni. And the verse was saying, Vasudev was actually telling to Narada, "O Brahmana, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I still wish to inquire about these duties which give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any mortal who faithfully hears about them is free from all kinds of fear." So we can see this etiquette when one meets the great personality. One always takes the humble position to inquire about the devotional service, about the pastimes of the Lord. So this is exactly what's taking place. And by hearing from Narada Muni, even Vasudeva is only pure devotee, he's just relishing more and more sweetness in his spiritual life. So there is so many important points. I will just try to say a few things since we are already a little behind. So the verse is saying, by chanting the holy name, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. And basically, the essential point in the purport we find is that it's mentioned Dhruva Chitta, or with melted heart. It is explained that devotee, upon seeing the Lord, then losing that sight, he gets in a very, very deep anxiety. And what kind of anxiety that is? It certainly is not anything out of this mundane material world. We know that there are so many things we can worry about, but this is something totally different. I like how it is described here. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur notes indicates that one's heart is melted by the fire of an anxiety to see the Lord, and it becomes like Jambu Nadi, a river of rose apple juice. I was wondering, we can just imagine what it is, but it must be something wonderful. Compare that to the anxieties that humans experience in this world. It's totally, such a huge contrast. We know with the floods that have taken place in Louisiana, how basically people are, totally stopped from their daily routine. And they can't really do anything other than think about that huge water that's covering and causing so much misery there. So we can just imagine in a similar way when the devotee loses the sight of the Lord, how it's like a huge flood, much bigger than one in Louisiana. It's like a huge flood that totally overwhelms the mind, senses, and intelligence, and one cannot think of anything else but the Lord Himself. So where do we find that example? We find it in Vrindavan, of course. After Akrura visited Vrijabasis, and he spoke with Nanda Maharaj and Madhuri Yashoda, Lord Krishna and Balaram, they approached him and they said, "So, dear uncle, please tell us the purpose of your visit." And then Akrura explained that actually he was sent by Kamsa to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And Krishna and Balaram, they just smiled and they thought, like, it's foolish Kamsa, he thinks he can capture us, and they were just smiling. And Krishna said, yeah, certainly we will go tomorrow morning. Kamsa was performing sacrifice. Danuk Yagya. So he invited all the Vrijbasis and Krishna and Balaram to come to Mathura. And we know previously he sent so many demons to kill Krishna and Balaram. So this was just another of his evil tricks, to say. So Krishna said, yeah, we're going to go tomorrow morning. And Nanda Maharaj, he told the Vrijbasis, you know, go ahead and prepare the bullock carts, you know, load up the milk, butter, grains, you know, and we're going to go first thing in the morning. And, but when the gopis, when they heard that Krishna is leaving, Balaram is leaving, they were totally, totally shocked by the news. Imagine, you know, if you heard something really, really, some news that really shocks you. And I'm sure all of us at some point had such dramatic experience in life, like if somebody loved in your family passed away or something like that. You just totally, your mind is totally frozen. So the gopis, they became totally bewildered. It is explained that their hair, their decorations all became loose. Their hearts started beating really hard. And they were breathing heavily. They were almost fainting. And they were thinking, how could Krishna leave? You know, he was playing with us, dancing in a rasa dance, playing with cowboys, playing his flute. How could he leave? And they started. So they were experiencing that kind of an anxiety that we are discussing. So the gopis were saying, first they started blaming the providence. They were saying, oh, this cruel providence, first you gave us the eyes to see the Lord and to see his beautiful curly hair, and now you're taking our eyes away and we won't be able to see him anymore. And then they were thinking, you know, Krishna is not very merciful. You know, how could he leave us and go to Mathura? And they said, he's not very intelligent. But then they kind of checked themselves. And they said, well, he may be intelligent, but still he's not very kind. Even the elderly cowmen, they are just, you know, they didn't even consult with us. They're already getting ready with carts and getting ready to leave in the morning. So they were discussing like that in total bewilderment, total anxiety. And then they said, well, it is all Akrura's fault. And, you know, Akrura shouldn't have come and taken Krishna from us to Mathura. But then they continued even further discussing, you know, what's the use of our life? You know, we should pray to demigods. Maybe the demigods can arrange for some big storm to happen to stop Krishna Balaram from leaving. Have you ever been in a situation you pray, like, I wish some miracle could happen just to change the course of, you know, action, what's happening in my life. So gopis are here praying so intensely, even to demigods, you know, please let there be a huge storm, you know, a huge tornado. Let's keep Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. So as they were discussing, they were crying, and they actually spent all night crying and in that way thinking about the Lord and their separation from the Lord. So next morning, as soon as the sun rose, Akrura was ready on the chariot, Krishna and Balaram with him. But the gopis, they said, at least we're going to block the road. We're not going to let him go. We're going to stand there and we're not going to let him go. So they all stood on the path where, which was leading to Mathura. And as the chariot approached, Krishna was so touched by their devotion. And he tried to explain, my dear gopis, don't worry. I will be back very shortly. I just have to do, you know, small business in Mathura, and I will be right back. But gopis wouldn't take it. There's just no way. So somehow Akira, you know, made the chariot go, and the gopis were standing, and they were just standing. It was described like a painted pictures. They were standing still without any motion, any movement. They were just looking and following with their eyes the chariot that was departing. All the way till the chariot totally disappeared in the distance. So we can see that example. Of course, we cannot imitate that, but that is the perfect example of perfected stage of devotional service, which we find described in this beautiful verse. So the verse is saying, when one starts chanting the holy name, that devotional activity develops, and one chants without consideration of, you know, any external, you know, opinions of general public. And there is one nice story describing similar point. Once disciples approached his spiritual master, and they were questioning, how shall we perfect our devotional service? And the Guru said, go to the place where they cremate dead bodies and praise those people. So they went there. Oh, well, he initially told them, go and criticize them. So they came there, and when they saw dead bodies lying around, they started saying, you wasted your life. You did not attain the perfection of spiritual life. You are totally, you know, losers. So they were criticizing like that, and then they returned back to Guru. And Guru inquired, so, did you do it? Yeah, Gurudev, we did. And what did they reply? Gurudev, they didn't say anything. They were dead bodies. Gurudev just, you know, thoughtfully smiled, and he said, okay, now you go back and you praise them. So they went back to the same place where bodies were lying dead. So this time they were glorifying them. Oh, you wonderful people, you did so much service while you were alive. You are such a great souls. So they were praising them. And then they came back, and spiritual masters again said, so, what did they say? Gurudev, they didn't say anything. And then Gurudev made a clear point. So, in such a way, you have to perform your devotional service. When people praise you, you should not, you know, you should be like a dead body. Don't get, you know, all puffed up and proud. And when people criticize you, again, you know, be humble and, you know, just continue with your devotional service. So with such attitude, one can definitely go on chanting, dancing, and spreading the mercy of the Lord to all the living entities throughout the planet. There is a beautiful song written by Devaki Nandandas, in which he praises the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they actually are the one, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the one who brought all this treasure from the spiritual world and all this beautiful information about the Vrindavan. So in his poem, Devaki Nandandas, he actually first goes on praising the residents of Vrindavan, then praising the residents of Jagannath Puri, and then of Navadvip. And then he goes on saying, I worship the lotus feet of all of Mahaprabhu's devotees residing in Gaudadesh, Bengal. With upraised arms, I worship the lotus feet of Garanga Mahaprabhu's dear devotees, wherever they may reside. And then he goes saying, with straw in my teeth, I worship the lotus feet of all the servants of Mahaprabhu that ever were in the past or that ever will be in the future. And then he says, he goes on saying, in the Vedas and Puranas, it is said that each of the dear devotees of Srimad Mahaprabhu has the potency to deliver the entire universe. So I was just thinking how our beloved Srila Prabhupada is the perfect example of that. By him coming to the West and spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world, he definitely fulfills this description. So how fortunate we are to partake in this beautiful Krishna consciousness movement. I have a few more minutes. So, one time, Satchinandana Swami was in Jagannath Puri and waiting for Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath to come out. And initially it was announced Lord Jagannath will be coming around 8 o'clock in the morning. But somehow the time was passing and Lord Jagannath decided to wait. And finally the Lord came out around 12. And by then it was so hot, Maharaj describes, that people are almost fainting, like it was so hot. And as he was standing in the distance, he saw one elderly sadhu with a shaved head kind of leaning on the ground and offering prayers to Lord Jagannath. And then all of a sudden, another man came and he started to fan him with palm leaf or something like that. So the sadhu who was praying, he became like, you know, upset, you know, and he was trying to tell him, stop. He didn't want him, you know, to defend. But the other person just kept going. And Maharaj, he thought like, oh, this will be interesting. So he went closer to observe. And so as the debate went back and forth, you know, the sadhu was trying to, you know, kind of deny the, you know, the fanning, and the other person was kind of forcing. So all of a sudden the sadhu get up and Maharaj thought, oh my gosh, like, you know, what is he going to do? And he grabbed the leaf. And one would think like he would like, you know, chastise the person, but no, he actually started fanning Lord Jagannath with the same leaf. So Maharaj describes that is the wonderful example how devotee, when one is totally purified in heart, he doesn't want any worship himself, whatever, you know, comes, he immediately wants to offer to the Lord. Maybe Keshava Prabhu, you can see that picture. I also wanted to share with you one photo. Beautiful photo. I don't know if you can see well, but this is Lord Vittal. I initially thought this is a young girl, but then I read it's actually a boy. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We can see this beautiful young devotee. He is sheltering the Lord from the rain. And I don't know if you can see, he is barefoot. You know, he's himself, you know, by everybody's passing by, he's just standing and holding the umbrella over the Lord. So I thought like, gosh, like this is such amazing, devotion. Just a, you know, beautiful young child. But you can see, if you would see closer the picture, his eyes are totally filled with sincerity. He's not just making show. He's really sincerely, you know, thinking, I have to take care of the Lord. So, such a beautiful picture. I will finish with one last story. How all of us, you know, we have some way to do something wonderful for the Lord. even if we may have, you know, many defects, you know, we are just, you know, young beginning devotees like myself. But still, you know, if we are sincere, and that is what the verse is saying, if one chants sincerely, Krishna will do anything to take that soul back home to Godhead. So the story I wanted to share with you, once there was a village man, and his daily activities were very simple. Every day he would go to the river, fill two pots with the water, and carry it on the, you know, stick, one on each side. But the problem was, one of the pots was leaking water, and the other pot was perfectly fine. So by the time he would come back to house, the pot that was leaking the water, it would be half empty. The water would just leak out. So it would only have half pot filled while the other pot was totally filled. But the man was, you know, very simple, humble village man. He just kept doing it day after day, month, year after year. And after many years, the pot spoke to the man and he said, "My dear sir, please forgive me." And the village man said, "Why? You've been working so hard and laboring so hard, but by the time you come home, my pot, I only keep half of the water. I'm such a bad servant." And the village man said, "Don't worry, that's okay." And, you know, the pot was somewhat, you know, pacified, but still not really settled in the heart. "So don't worry, I will show you something when we go back tomorrow." So the next day, yeah, they went to the river, the village men filled the pots, and they started walking back. And again, the poor pot was leaking. But the village men said, "Hey, look, do you see all these beautiful flowers?" And the pot was, "Yeah. Well, I knew you had, you know, a little crack. That's why I planted the seed on your side, not on the other side where the other pot is. And for the last several years, I've been taking the flowers and offering to Krishna. So you are doing such a great service." So at that point, the pot was happy. And he realized, even with the crack, he was doing some seva. Even with all the defects that he was born, he actually was useful, because his master found a way to engage him. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of all the Vaishnavas, we have a great fortune, because similarly we are also engaged in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement, and together we can go on chanting and dancing, and like this verse describes, and go on spreading the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Thank you so much. I will stop here. If anybody has any questions or comments and critics, please.
Wonderful. I can't see the picture. Is that an actual picture? I mean, or is it a painting? Or
it's actually deity. Yeah, deity is standing on some kind of tower.
How did Vito get outside like that?
It's a photo? It's really hard to say from... Vito? Vito, and I forgot what part of India. Forgive me my ignorance. There is a beautiful bhajan that... our Lokanath Maharaji sings, and I had it playing in my car for a long time, and I had no clue, you know, and he's singing about Vitala, 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 and I totally wasn't aware till recently I discovered this is actually Lord Vitala. So, yeah, I don't know. I felt like it was deity, maybe it's painting. Anyone else have any comments? Yes, Prabhu.
That song that you are reading the translation, Vrindavana Basi Jata Vaishnavera Gana. Last time when Sachinandan Maharaj was here in Alachua, he did a 5-day seminar, the Lord of the Heart of the Temple, Lord of the Temple of the Heart, morning and evening class right here. He quoted this 3 times. So I caught it because I knew that song in Mayapur, but he gave it details for like about 20 minutes that those who feels that their offensive nature is not removed, they should sing this song. He didn't say translation only, I guess you have to sing and the translation. Because it is composed, then I spoke to him a little bit about it, and it's composed by the Gopal Chapal. According to Gaur Govinda Maharaj's temple has one publication, I forgot the name, what is called Gopal Jiu, and he gets an email. I guess a lot of Maharajas get email from that. That's where he got this from. Mm-hmm. And he said that Gopal Chapal was the one personality that Lord Chaitanya says he will not give love of Godhead. And Prabhupada mentioned, Maharaj mentioned that, it's very interesting that Gopal Chapal knew that Lord Chaitanya is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew the purpose of Lord Chaitanya came. Yet, he was deprived. So then, of course, there's a whole discussion that how, at the end, Mahaprabhu gave his blessing. And in that realization, he was lamenting and crying so much after he was forgiven by Sivas Pandit where he committed offense, that he composed that song. So it's very important.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. I would encourage everybody to read it. Beautiful poem. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, I think we will stop here. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.